The Hannity kicking gonna stop. It's gonna start now. It's gonna run through the summer, and it's hot, hot, hot in public, if you will.
What's happening, everybody? What's up? What's up? It's Monday night. I am sitting down here at the bar in the basement. Just poured myself a nice cold Heineken Light because I'm watching my girlish figure. I got a brand new candle lit right here beside me. It smells like vanilla. And not to mention, the lights are hanging out right there on my Steelers stoplight. It says, "Let's go, Steelers," preaching to a really, really fun victory yesterday. If you like defensive football, welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. My name is Chef Plum. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, we have the one and only Sweet Cakes by Sarah. Let me tell you why I wanted to have Sarah on the show tonight. Sarah spent the entire summer in Maine, and that's insane to me. She went, like, in the middle of Maine to work at a camp. Like, it's just crazy talk. Like, what? And she did it, like, by choice and is incredibly happy to do it and spent the summer there. So it's all about the different things a chef can do. It's not always about just having to cook food in a restaurant or just do catering work. There's all kinds of fun things. I think what she did is a great different perspective is the way to look at it. That's how I look at it, the perspective, right? That's right. And not only that, tonight, you guys, we are also going to talk. We are 2 days away from the Connecticut Chef's Challenge here in the tri-state area. And let me tell you what, this event is totally fun. It's going to be great times. We have some great chefs coming in. We have some great judges coming in to talk about food and, you know, try to find the best of the best. That's right. And way to find the best, like the best. I got only some of the best judges in the planet. I'm having trouble talking there. So what happened was, just to be honest with you, I swallowed my beer wrong. So it's like down the wrong pipe. I don't know. No one wants to hear about my beer going down the wrong pipe. I got it. I understand. But I'm being honest because I'm honest on this show. And I tell you, if something fucks up, I'm going to tell you it fucked up. That's how it works. But way it comes down to it, we got some great judges for this event. And I thought, because I know a lot of the chefs that are going to be at this event, check out this very program right here on a Monday night. So I thought it might be fun to talk to one of those judges right now. And, you know, I don't think the background music is going to work. I don't know why we keep trying it. It doesn't work. It's too loud with a new system. Got it? Good. Anyway, I thought it'd be fun to talk to one of those judges tonight. This gentleman here is he's become a good friend of mine. He's a great guy. He is one of the co-hosts of CT Style here in Connecticut. He's a very, very funny guy, a very nice guy, a very humble guy, and a damn fine-looking gentleman. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend, the one and only Mr. Ryan Christopher. Sir, how are you?
Chef Plum, what's happening, brother? How are you?
I am good. I just poured myself a cold one. I know you're probably not because you have to get up, in 3 hours and go to work or something, right?
Yeah, I think you had a few extra there for me there in the intro there.
I did a swallowed one.
You know, I can't talk tonight, but I'm going to try to talk to you guys. It's going to be a good show, and let's do it.
No, it's
I'm
great.
Being honest. It's I'm just being honest. That's all.
It's an audio show.
It's a challenge with chefs. Oh yeah, sorry about that. Anywho,
I just want to point out. I don't talk like that. I just want to point out that's not my voice at all.
No, yeah, that was a horrible rendition. I do apologize.
That was terrible, dude. I'm loving the stuff you're doing now with Good Morning Connecticut. The segment you're doing, those are so funny, man. You're killing it.
Thank you. It's been fun actually because we've been able to travel to some really cool restaurants. So anybody listening who has like a cool local spot here in Connecticut, please tweet me or tweet Chef Plum and he'll tweet at me or something, because we're really just trying to explore Connecticut, find those cool places that people might not know about or some of our state's favorite things. So if you know of anybody, anything, any place to check out, cool recipes, let me know, because we're always on the hunt.
Well, and you're trying to find material. You got 5 days a week you're doing this crap. I get it, man. That's a lot of material.
Oh, yeah. That is but speaking of something new every day.
But speaking of cool events and cool things, you, my friend, are a judge this year for the Connecticut Chef's Challenge. I'm so happy you're going to be there. It's a really, really fun event. I can't wait for you to see. This thing is going to be huge this year. They've got big screens, like Titantrons and wrestling all over the place.
That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm just a little concerned. You're really scraping the bottom of the barrel bringing me in to judge a food contest. I mean, come on.
Well, let me tell you my thought process here. You work with a lot of chefs on your show. You've tasted a lot of different things on your show, and you go all over the state. So I thought it made sense that you've definitely tasted and had a lot of food from all across the state. So you have kind of a good denominator, I guess, for everything. Like, you get what good food tastes like.
Good point. I can't cook, but I can eat. So that works for me. I mean, I can taste something and tell you if it tastes good, bad, and different, you know. But I think it'll be a lot of fun. I know you have a lot of other great judges, and I hear it's quite the event from past years and whatnot, so it's really going to be cool, and I think it's great. You're hosting and doing the whole shtick, so it's cool. I mean, knowing that you're going to be there, I think that alone is worth going and checking out.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. But, you know, also, too, you and I have nice banter, so we have 3 hours of time to fill, so I figured I better get Ryan here to give me a hand.
That'll be fun. That'll be a good time. Now, do you know what some of the dishes are going to be or ingredients, or is it all secret? What's the deal here?
I don't, and I don't on purpose, because I want to talk to them live, and I want to talk to the chefs as it's happening. I've had some of the chefs tell me what they're making. I try not to let them tell me, but I just kind of want to do it live in front of people, and then so I can ask questions and whatnot, and feel free to make fun of people at the time, so I don't have to, you know, pre-think anything. That's the idea. But it's a great event, man. I tell you what, and 10 of the chefs here that are coming, 10 of the chefs at this event are just, they're so good. They're so friendly. They're such good people. And one in particular I'm looking forward for you to meet. His name is Chef Mark Vaquito. He's great. Chef Carol Cody, she's also fantastic. A lot of great chefs. And the coolest part about this event, dude, there's a championship belt, not a trophy. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh. Now, I know that you have a career. I would say a former career, but I think you still have it in you. Will you be breaking out any wrestling moves, any Stone Cold Stunners or anything? Or?
Well, my finisher was called the Main Course, sir. And I probably will wear my tights underneath my chef coat.
That I think you just sold some tickets.
Yeah, hell yeah! Come check out my Adonis-like figure in tights, and Ryan will be my manager. Yeah. It'll be fantastic.
and on the back of the tights it says mise en place, right?
That's really good. No, but it should. It's going to hey, put the mise en place on the back of the tights, right on the ass. There you go.
You're welcome for that one. Oh, jeez. Where's this all going?
So what do you, when you taste good food, you know what I mean? You've had a lot of food across the state. You know New England food. When you taste good food, what is it like? What's the first thing you think of? Is it the flavor hits you? Is it like a feeling, like a memory it hits you when you taste something good? What's the first thing you look for when you eat something delicious?
Yeah, I think it's usually that unique flavor, like something that you weren't expecting, or maybe it's an ingredient that somebody included, but you weren't really expecting it to be that bold in the dish. That's always exciting. And it's cool because sometimes we go around the state and we taste dishes that are pretty traditional. Hey, so you're getting a lobster roll, you're going to eat a lobster roll. But then we go to different diners around the state and they whip up these crazy, wacky, you know, breakfast dishes, and you're like, what? You put that in there? With that doesn't make any sense. But then you taste it, and it's like, wow, that was pretty cool. So it's neat because you meet all these local chefs, cooks, business owners who, I mean, people with food, that's their passion, right? That's their life. So it's cool to see, like, their creation, what their family thinks is the best recipe. And I don't want to put anybody over anybody else, but it's neat because each place has its thing. They have their shtick. They have their flavor, their taste, their style, their swag. So it's kind of cool. Yeah, I think Connecticut actually does have a lot going on. And I mean, I'm sure you know that best from Edible Nutmeg.
Well, yeah, and it's true. We get to see a lot of these fun things with Edible Nutmeg. I mean, no doubt. We definitely get to see a lot of great things with that stuff, man. And I think that one of the fun parts about having so many chefs here, even if we gave every chef the same ingredients, we would get 10 different dishes because chefs so much personalized, so much of their own. You know, every dish is so personalized by each chef. And I think that that's going to be the fun part on Thursday, see how these chefs come up with different things, still kind of utilizing the flavors of the Northeast.
Now, will you be doing a little battle up there, too? Do you think you'll get your own fan or something over there?
No, man. I'm just the guy who runs his mouth and shills all the things for him and talks to the chefs. And, you know, it started off the first year I was a part of this event, they asked me to be like a competitor, and I competed. And there was a guy there from an AM radio station that was hosting. I'm not going to say any names. But he made the mistake, Ryan, of handing me the microphone. And I didn't give it back to him for like an hour.
Yeah. Well, it's a good or bad decision, I guess. If you're lazy and you don't want to work, it's a good decision then. You know, you can go have drinks at the bar.
Yeah, but I thought that was what they, you know, it ended up bringing a chef perspective, which is why they've asked me to come back. You know, this is the second year for doing it. But for me, I thought it was great to have someone like you there who's seen so much stuff. Like, that's the angle I've got you there with it. Like, you've seen so much stuff from around the state. It's going to be great to have you there tasting this food and seeing this food and just meeting some really cool chefs, man. So I'm really excited you're going to be there. I can't thank you enough for saying yes to come do it, because I know you're a very busy guy.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you thinking about me, and I think it's going to be an awesome event. I can't wait to be there, meet all the chefs, and obviously taste all the good food. It's going to be a fun night, and thanks again for thinking of me, and make sure you guys tune in CT Style, Good Morning Connecticut, 6:30 a.m., 9 a.m. on Channel 8. That's ABC here in Connecticut. And Chef Plum, you're on like every single month, so I'm sure people tune in just for that alone. So always good chit-chatting with you. And where can people buy tickets to the event?
They can go to ctchefschallenge.com. You can tell a professional broadcaster and a professional person right there. He's like, throw it to me. Where can they get tickets at? That was awesome.
All right, guys, we're going to send you over to the website. Make sure you grab your tickets today. Back to you.
Oh, dude, you're awesome, bro. Hey, man, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on tonight and chatting a little bit, man. And look forward to definitely seeing you on Thursday, my man.
All right, brother. It'll be great. Thanks again, and have a good night.
All right, dude, get some rest. You got to be up in like 30 minutes, so get your nap in.
Yeah, something like that. I'll drink some Red Bull.
There you go. All right, bro, be good. Thanks, man.
All right, see ya.
There he goes, guys. Mr. Ryan Christopher, the co-host of CT Style. Good buddy of mine, great friend, and he's a great host, you guys. He really has, he brings a liveliness to things, which I'm really excited to have him on board for the CT Chefs Challenge this year. There's been a lot of trash talking going on, and I tell you what, I think trash talking is important when it comes to these events, because it's a show. People want to see a show. People are paying money to come watch you run your mouth. When I was on Cutthroat Kitchen not too long ago, they asked me to be the bad guy. They said, hey, Chef Plum, can you run your mouth and be an asshole? No one else is talking. And I said, absolutely, I would be happy to. So I ran my mouth. You know why? Because it's entertaining. That's why. It's entertaining. Whew. There. Now let me step down off this soapbox real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on a Monday night. Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, which, by the way, that's just TuneIn, not TuneIn FM now. A great app. I just checked it out, man. It really is. It's a great app. All kinds of stuff, and you can get football games on there, which is even cooler for me. I am going to take a 3-second breather, but here's the problem with taking breathers. Are you ready for this? I'm going to tell you the problem with taking breathers, because I'm a chef, and all I do is work my butt off. That's it. I work my ass off. I work 7 days a week. It's insane, especially as an entrepreneurial type chef. And as an entrepreneurial type chef, I need to have caffeine in my life. Caffeine is what makes my day go around. I'm telling you. Whether it's a Red Bull, whether it is a Monster energy drink, or in the morning, it's coffee. And when it comes to coffee, one of my choices is Birds of a Feather Coffee Company out of Tampa, Florida. These guys are amazing. Birds of a Feather Coffee Company is small batch craft coffee out of Tampa. They use only the highest quality specialty grade beans. Now listen, everybody says they use the best quality crap. I get it. It's like a gimmick, but these guys really, really do. Their blends are complex, approachable, and always roasted fresh. So you're not getting, you know, this giant bat of stuff that's roasted and then they send you a little piece of it. No. It's very, very small batches that they roast. One of my favorites I'm drinking these days is the Night Owl blend. It's awesome. It's like a heavy, deeper coffee, especially moving into the fall, getting the colder weather. It's deep and rich, highlighting with caramel sweetness and cocoa, molasses, undertones kind of underneath there. It's a real great coffee. I love it. I like the darker blends, and that's a great way to go right there. You can get that at birdscoffeecompany.com. Birds of a Feather Coffee Company is fantastic. These guys, I'm telling you what, they're doing things right when it comes to coffee. Make sure you check them out at birdscoffeecompany.com. You can sign up for a monthly subscription, and you'll never run out of your favorite. So trust me, these guys are awesome. That's birdscoffeecompany.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, check it out. I'm going to take a 3-second breather. And then when I come back, we are going to be talking to the one, the only, the talented, the beautiful, the funny, the one and only Sweet Cakes by Sarah. Let me tell you something right now. She's a kick. She's a real, real funny person to talk to. I'm looking forward to having this conversation. And what the hell happens in Maine for an entire summer? It's just the craziest thing I've ever heard of. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Hang tight.
For the cops though.
Cash food.
Word up. 2 for 5s over here, baby. Word up. 2 for 5s. Niggas got garbage down the way. Word up.
Cash food. Everything around me. Cream it.
Yeah. Check this old fly shit out. Word up.
Cash food.
Take you on a natural joint.
Cream it. The
here
money.
Here we go. Dollar, check dollar this bill, shit. Yo. Yeah. I grew up on the
Oh, that's right, you guys. Coming back live right here on Plum Love Foods Live. You know, I'm not really sure if I'm allowed to play music, but I'm doing it. I don't really give a shit. You know, here's my thought. I'll do it till someone says I can't, and then I'll just have to apologize. That's what we're going to do. Wicked Garden by Stone Temple Pilots, one of my favorite songs ever. Great song. And, of course, you know, got to throw in a little Wu-Tang there to bring it back in. That's what I'm talking about, a little Wu-Tang. I'm going to bring my guest on right now. Let me tell you something. She is a person who I met through True Cooks, which is kind of an amazing way to meet people. Not only that, she is a very, very talented baker. She's a promoter. She's an entrepreneur. But more importantly, she's a great person and someone I'm happy to call one of my friends, the one and only Sweet Cakes by Sarah. Sarah, what's happening?
Hello, everybody.
I know, kind of weird, huh? What are you doing here?
It is.
Well, listen, I've kind of followed what's gone on with you all summer long. And you know, we've talked a little bit here and there, maybe on the show and whatnot. But it just really, really was interesting to me because I spent a lot of time lately, especially with a lot of young cooks and whatnot, talking about different types of work you can do in this business. It doesn't have to always be in a restaurant. Like, you don't have to always have a restaurant setting. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to always be that. And I tell you what you do is, I mean, it's right up there with that sort of thing. Entrepreneurial, making your own way, DIY. I love it. Tell us exactly what it is that you do.
And that's what I love about catering most, is that you're never stuck in this one place. Like, every job kind of, you cater to every job in every different location, and that's what makes it exciting, and I love that. It keeps everything fresh, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even to the point where with you, you're also doing, like, you know, you do, obviously you're baking. So if people want wedding cakes, they call you, right?
Right. And that's crazy. I have a wedding cake coming up that's gonna, I'm getting nervous just thinking about it. Like, structure wise, it kind of reminds a lot about, you know, when we did the True Cook SoFlo last year. Around this time last year, I had this upside down chandelier cake, and I have something coming up like that. That's very exciting to do. But yeah, like, the whole cooking, baking thing is just, it's, as long as you're in a kitchen, that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter where you are. So
What brought you into a kitchen to begin with? Like, what was your thing? How'd you end up getting there to begin with?
I've always loved cooking. I've always been in the kitchen. Like, even, you know, when I was a little girl, we kind of, like, grew up around the kitchen. Like, conversations happened in the kitchen, you know.
Right.
So I always grew up in that. But when I started becoming, like, a stay-at-home mom after my second child, I just started baking. And baking is in my family as well. I have family all over that have, you know, bakeries and factories in Israel for baking stuff and baking goods. So it does run in my family. And then the art part is, you know, my talent, my thing, and I love it. And I slowly, you know, started making cakes and designing it, and I found out that that's, like, what I really love to do. And I stopped nurse. I was a registered nurse, and I stopped doing that. And I just went full force with my baking. And I love it. And it's so true, the saying of, when you do something you love, it's not work. It really isn't. Like, there have been jobs and we've been working 16, 17 hours straight on our feet, and we're tired as fuck. And it's just like, oh, but when you love it, you love it. It's part of, it's your life.
I mean, I couldn't have said that even more, any better or any more, just with any clearer than what you just did. You're absolutely right. That's what it's all about. I mean, If you love what you're doing, and it sounds cliche to say that, because so many people do say that, if you love what you do, you'll never work. But it's true, man. Like, I work my ass off. I'm killing myself right now. But you know what? It's good. It's, to me, it's hustling. It's you know, it's being in the game. Like, I have a beautiful wife and a house, and I have cars, and I go on vacations, and I can do cool things like this, all because of food. And to me, that's being in the game. That's hustling. Like, I work for myself, you know?
And it's your name on the line, which makes it even more of a challenge, and it makes it even more of a reward.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So when you get a cake, let me ask you this. So someone calls you for a wedding cake, and they're like, Sarah, let me get this wedding cake. And you're like, all right, I'll make you a wedding cake. How much time goes into that? Like, from the beginning of the process to the end? Because I know it's very, very, I've never made a wedding cake, but I know it's very, very, like, intense.
Yeah. Well, it really does depend on the cake. Like, I'll first meet up with the client and, like, and they'll, you know, send me some pictures, or we'll draw, like, a rough sketch on what they want. And depending on whether if it's, like, really intricate, like, with flowers and sugar work, that just it depends. Like, flowers and sugar work, I tend to start working on it, like, 2 weeks before the actual event. And then the actual cake part, the baking, is probably, like, 2 days before. So, it could, you know, be the freshest it can be.
Yeah. Wow. So it takes a lot of time to do it, huh?
So sometimes, I mean, I had a 10-tier cake that I started working on like a month before.
Good God. Why do we need a 10-tier cake?
Yeah. A month before, just to do all the sugar work. And it was crazy. But at the end of the day, it's just so worth it. You stand back and you're like, oh my God, I did this. And then your client goes, oh my God, you did this. And you're like, yeah.
Wow. So what are we doing? Why don't we get you on one of these Food Network baking shows where they're making cakes and shit, or cupcakes? Why don't we get you on one of these? You want to do it?
So many people. No, I would freeze. So many people tell me that, and I would freeze. I would probably like poison them by accident or something.
That means it'd be a great show. Are you kidding me?
ratings.
Yes. I said before I brought you on, when I was on Cutthroat, they pulled me aside and asked me, and listen, my persona is the, you know, the family guy, the funny family guy. That's my gimmick. But they pulled me aside and said, everybody here sucks. Can you run your mouth more? And I was like, sure. I said, you want me to be the heel? They said, yes. I'm telling you, they would love it. They would love it if you went on there just froze and fell apart. Who cares? It's awesome.
Right.
I'm telling you. Well, when you're ready, you let me know. I can help you out. I can help you get past a lot of the rigmarole if you wanted to actually do that. Okay. So tell me, you had the chance. You live in Florida, and you were telling me that in the summertime it gets really, really quiet. And I lived there for a long time. I know, but I guess it's because it's so hot, right? God. People actually, it's too hot.
It was too quiet, and there were times where it was too hot, and then there were times where I was freezing my ass off, like freezing cold.
Right. So you decided to pack up this summer, and you left your family, left everything, and you went and worked in Maine, right?
Yeah, and like nowhere.
You said, fuck it. I'm going to go as far away from Florida as I can and still be in the United States. I'm fucking leaving. And you went north and didn't stop till you got to Maine. That's crazy. How does that happen?
Well, me and Carlin, Pan Chef, we actually got a summer job at this camp. He was the executive chef. And it's so funny that you mentioned, you know, baking versus cooking. I was the sous chef and the baker. So it was like at times I was like Sarah versus Sarah. It was just like, you know, like weird.
How does he get that job? How's that job come across the desk to begin with? Like, is it a Craigslist type thing? Is it someone knows somebody?
Carlin knows everybody. Things always fall in his lap. Like, he knows everybody. Oh. So he was offered this job, and he was just like, yeah, let's do this. I'm like, okay, cool. Because anyway, in Florida in the summer, everything is dead. There's nothing going on here. No one's getting married. It's too hot. No one's having any, you know, special occasions. And so we figured, listen, might as well make some money in the summertime and do this camp experience. And he's done that before in the past. And, you know, he said, I think it'd be good for you. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And
so you guys went, and you went all the way to Maine. And how long were you there?
For about 2.5 months. We were there before camp started because staff was there. Yeah, staff was there. So we had to cook for staff about 2 weeks before camp started. And then after camp ended, we were there for another week and a half to continue to feed the staff that still needed to be there.
Yeah.
It was insane. But there were good moments, there were bad moments. Like, you know what the best moments were? When in the middle of the day you'd be cooking and these kids would come in to the not into the kitchen but into the dining area, just to look on the board to see what was on the menu. Like, kids were so involved. Like, amazing. That felt so good. What are we having for lunch? Okay, but what are we having for dinner? Like, no way. They were just so in love with our menu. Carlin put together an amazing menu. for them. They had food that they never even had. And like, you don't hear about like stuff that we did at camp. Everything was fresh. Nothing, not even frozen. Like everything was done fresh. Stocks and vegetable stocks and sauce. Everything was fresh. And
give a couple examples of menus.
That's what matters the most, is that they appreciated it and they loved it.
That's amazing, and that's especially with kids like that. How old were the kids? Like, what's the age range of the kids? And give me a couple of menu items you guys had.
Yeah, the kids were anywhere from, like, I mean, I think they're, like, they started, the bunk started at, like, 7 years old, and they all the way up to, you know, CITs and counselors, like, in their 20s and 30s, so. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, what's some of the stuff would be on the menu? Well, obviously, we did, like, you know, obviously the theme, Taco Tuesdays. We mixed up, like, lasagna. Instead of having lasagna, we did Mexican lasagna.
Nice.
We had Moroccan nights where we did, like, Moroccan chicken for them with all the Moroccan salads.
Wow.
We had, like, we really made it up for them. And they had these, like, once in each session, they would have these banquets. It was almost like a party for them. And I think for the first time, we actually got involved. From what I heard, it was their first time in the camp experience that they actually involved the chefs. And we actually sat down with the counselors and the junior counselors. And we said, what is your theme? Let us help you with your theme. And the first one was like Disney. So we went all out and did, you know, Disney shaped Mickey Mouse ears out of brownies and food that went with like Disney. Just to go into the theme, the second one was like Scooby-Doo. So we had maintenance make this huge cutout of the car, the van. And Scooby-Doo is all about like the, you know, the sub. So we did like a sub cake and it was just amazing. It was nice kind of having the kids fall in love with food. It's not just like, you know, you come in, oh, okay, lunch and out. The kids really enjoyed the food, and that was such a reward for us.
Which is, it sounds like you had a lot of creativity there too, which is amazing. You wouldn't think of that in a camp situation, you know?
Yeah, there was one time they had like a Harry Potter day, and we're like, okay, let's do something. Let's do something fun for them. And I saw they had bags and bags of marshmallows. I made fondant out of marshmallows and took Rice Krispies and made the hat from Harry Potter. And that was just fun for them to, like, you know, to have for dinner.
That's crazy,
yeah.
Man. That's crazy, man. And so also, would you guys get – no, go ahead.
Yeah. No. Also, like, with the whole camp situation, it was the first time where I really had to – we had to prepare for about 270 people with kids, staff and kids, every single day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks. So, I mean, talk about being prepared and getting everything done. We were always a day ahead, either a day or 2 days ahead. And Pan Chef really was, like, on top of everything, making sure teaching and the whole staff on how it's possible to be able to be ahead of the schedule and be able to have the 3-hour break, you know, midday. Also,
did you guys get a day off?
Not often, but there were some days where we were able to have like a day off here or there. You know, so also like the cooking and the quantity. I've never made bread or challah. Like made, it was like almost close to 40 loaves of challah bread. It was like, I think it was like, what was it, like 15 batches of brownie. I mean, 15 sheet pans of brownies. It was insane. But it felt so good. Like it really made me fall in love with mass production.
Now, how big was the staff in the kitchen besides you guys?
So it was the food director, which was basically someone just taking care, making sure that we have whatever we needed in the kitchen, supply-wise. Carlin, executive chef, me. It was a breakfast chef, and then we had, I want to say, five foreigners that they bring in from foreign countries. We had kids come in, kids, I mean, they were like young adults, like in their 20s, come right. in from Holland, from Poland. And it was such an experience for them. You know, they bring them in through camp leadership and they right. come in, they have this experience, they're working and they get to enjoy America. So they get to tour America afterwards. And they
wow,
would be our kitchen
crazy.
Staff help. So yeah, they would prep out salad bars and they would be in the dish pit. So that was our help.
I mean, it sounds like a lot of fun, but I mean, I gotta address the elephant in the room, Sarah, and I have to do it. I'm sorry. I'm a father. All I have right. three kids. I don't hide that. No. I know that you have kids. I mean, how yeah. hard is it to go away for 2.5 months like that?
It was hard for me not to have my kids there. And that's one thing I mentioned, that if I do go back to this camp for next summer, my kids are definitely coming with me. Yeah. That is something, but again, they were also with their dad in New York. So that was their time to okay. spend with their father in New York.
Right, right. But yeah. you could talk to them whenever you wanted, right? Yeah. I mean, here I am thinking, like, I'm thinking it's like a TV show. That's where I go immediately when I hear someone gone for 2.5 months. When you do a show like Top Chef or Food Network Star, you can't call anybody. Like, you can't talk to anybody. So that's in my head, I'm thinking, yeah. oh, she can't even talk to her kids, but you can talk to them whenever you want.
Yes and no. Like when we were in the kitchen, it was straight up work, work, work. Like Rihanna, work, work. No, so it was seriously just work, like nonstop. So there were times when there were like 2 days where I'm like, oh my God, I haven't spoken to my kids.
Yeah.
Because you get so into it and you're like, oh, wait a second, hold up. Something's missing here.
Damn. You know? Now, did they give you a place to stay too?
Yeah, I was in a cabin, like with spiders and beetles and mosquitoes.
Oh my God.
I got
in the cabin?
In a wooden cabin. A wooden cabin with.
Jesus.
Like no AC. And
oh God.
Yeah.
This sounds terrible.
Until you go to the store and you buy yourself like a. 6-pack, store it in the cooler, and then you're good to go.
Now, but how far away was the store? Was it hard to get to a store?
Oh, it was like 15 minutes away. And mind you, where we were, there was like nothing. We were about an hour away yeah. from Portland. There was only like maybe
wow.
two bars that were, you know, normal. And everything, even to get my nails done, I'm like, oh, fuck it. Fuck the nails. Fuck the nails, Sarah. This summer, you have no nails.
Yeah, I mean, you're in Maine.
You can get your nails done. Huh?
Just cracking up. That's funny. You're in the middle of sticks in Maine where there should be moose and bear to worry about. And you're like, oh, where the fuck am I going to get my nails done?
Oh.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
But yeah.
What time would you
get? Many times. Yeah.
So what time would you guys finish up at night? Like, would you work like a really long day, or was it like a, you know, like an 8 or 10 hour day, or was it like a 15 hour day every single day?
No, it wasn't 15 hour every single day, but there were days where we had to stick around even during our breaks because the kids would need snacks during our break time. And then sometimes they would have like ice cream parties at night. We would probably close the kitchen at like 10. The good part about it is the kitchen was always ours. So, like, you know, if we went out or whatnot and we came back and we're like, we're hungry, we would, like, go into the kitchen and make burgers and stuff. That was fun.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then definitely the wildlife there. Oh, my goodness gracious. I saw.
Is there a wildlife story?
Yeah, we had a skunk like underneath the kitchen. We had a skunk underneath the kitchen. We had a chipmunk literally in our kitchen, and I'm like, Snow White, like, go away, like, here's the door open, here, go, fly. You know,
that doesn't work.
What else, let me see. Oh, where my cabin was, there was this weird animal that I took a picture of. No idea. I think I'm going to send it to like the National Enquirer because I think I found like the next big thing. It was insane.
This weird animal. That just sounds crazy. So listen.
I couldn't Google it because I didn't know what it was.
Jesus. Now, did you have service? Did you have internet there at least, or no?
Oh my God, no! It was horrible. Wi-Fi.
Oh my God.
So limited on Wi-Fi. It was okay. Horrible. That was the bad thing. Like, it was not good. That was
so
horrible. Like, the more closer you move to the main cabin, like the main thing, you get Wi-Fi. But in my cabin, I had no Wi-Fi. It was horrible.
Damn, that's crazy talk. Well.
Yeah.
Especially
and they
day
put
age.
Me
you
on
can't...
the boy side. Like, out of all
of
the
they
cabins,
did.
They put me all the way up in the boy side.
Was it your own cabin, or did you have to share with somebody?
At first, I was sharing with a female that didn't last for like 3 days. She was Whoa. Also part of the kitchen staff, and she lasted like 3 days, and she was like, fuck it, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. And so basically, throughout the summer, I had my own cabin, which was fun. It was nice having my own cabin. But
is there a TV in there or anything? Or is it just like a room? Is it just like a room with like a
laptop.
Bed and that's it?
Yeah.
With no service.
Right? What good are you, right? Yeah.
Right.
It was like a room, like a little lounge area. And then there's another room, which is like two beds and then the shower. One good thing is I had hot water, which is that was like, okay, this is okay, not bad. I had hot water.
Well, that's good news. So imagine you guys are gone for 2.5 months at this, and we're not going to talk any numbers, obviously, but I'm guessing this was probably a pretty good paying gig, right?
It's okay. Definitely for next year, I'll definitely request more money because the work is expensive. Like you don't understand. Like at the end of this, I had no toes. Like I thought my pinky toe was going to fall off because I was shot. Like really.
Wow.
When I remember when I came back, I slept for 3 days straight.
Jeez. Cause you hadn't had any sleep or any rest.
But there were fun moments. Like there were times when the whole kitchen crew would go out and play volleyball and that was fun. And we would go on the lake and I was on a speedboat. And then there were, you know, days when we had off where we'd go like hiking and, you know, we'd jump off cliffs. There were good moments. I mean, but work is work, you know, that's part of the deal. It's part of the job.
And they gave you like full use of the whatever facilities they had there, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. So that, yeah.
I mean, like, you know, whatever they may, I don't know what they would possibly have there, but whatever they would have, I guess they'd give you use of it. I don't know what the fuck they would have, but, yeah, I get, like you said, boats and shit. Right.
The lake. Here, you want to swim? Go ahead.
There's the lake.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah.
How often would new kids rotate in?
It was two seasons. So it was like session one and session two.
Jesus.
So the first
I can't imagine sending my kids away for a while.
No, well, my kids went to sleep. Well, they have a lot of fun. Listen, they have a lot of fun. A lot of hookups go down, like, seriously. Like, all of a sudden you hear rumors. Oh, I hung out with that. What?
I don't want to hear that.
What?
I have three daughters, Sarah. Don't say that. That's terrible.
Do not send them to sleepaway camp.
Hell no. I have to show up there with I'll be killing bitches. I'll fight a 15-year-old in a heartbeat. I'm telling you.
Pop out.
Hey, and that motherfucker won't last very long. Look here. So you think you probably would go back and do it next year, though. So if you brought your kids with you, could they, like, go to the camp?
They would have to go to the camp. Yeah, for sure. They would enjoy it. Like, my kids would definitely be down for things. Like,
did you guys fly up or did you drive up?
No, we drove. And by the way, I want to give a quick shout-out to two amazing guys. We actually drove from Florida to Maine, and on the way there we stopped at Washington and we stopped at RL's restaurant, and he really like took us in, fed us, gave us whiskey.
Nice.
It was really nice, such a nice hospitality, like amazing. And then after that, after Washington, we stopped at Providence. Oh my God, I'm so in love with this town. Like, so in
it's
love.
A great
Everyone's
city.
Like super nice. It's beautiful. It's like you rent a bike and then you go. It's like in the movies, like in the, you know, 1950s, and you go and they're like, everyone's like waving, hi there, hello there, like have a nice day. Like,
it reminds me a lot of San Francisco. It reminds me a lot of San Francisco. Yeah. It's kind of just, I don't know, the way it is, the way everything's kind of laid out. I don't know. But yeah, it's a great town. I love it.
And we were there and it was really nice. We met up also with Lucio, and congrats to Lucio on the baby. And he also had us at the restaurant at Sage, and really amazing food. We really enjoyed it. So it was a nice drive north. It was good. And I had oysters for the very first time in my life.
What?
Yes. I'm so excited.
God. Oysters are fantastic. Oysters are fantastic. And hey, I want to throw a big congratulations and shout out to your man Carlin there on the baby, man. Congratulations on that,
my
dude.
I was gonna ask him
to be on too, but with a new baby. Like, I remember what that shit's like. Like, he ain't trying to talk on the radio with having a new baby and shit. So I was like, I'm not gonna best them, but you know, just when I think I felt, you know, leaving a man out or something, you know.
Yeah, big congratulations to Carlin. He's doing his thing. He's doing great. Yeah. And season is about to start. So hopefully we'll get busy with the CV caterers. So that's good.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, listen, it sounds like this was a hell of an experience for you. Like being able to go out to a camp like far away from anything you ever know. I mean, listen, I think life's all about adventures, and that's how we grow as people. I think doing that, and that's a really brave thing to go do, especially because you don't know what you're going into. You don't know what the fuck it's about. Like, you can get, they can tell you everything in the world that's great about it, but when you get there, that's when you really see it. And to be able to go and spend 2.5 months in Maine at some crazy ass camp and cook food, you know, 3 meals a day for 270 kids 7 days a week, that's fucking crazy and takes balls. So I got respect for that. And it's a great adventure. I'm happy for you guys
to
do it.
And
it's cool to see. I mean, that's dope, man. That really is a funny.
Thank
and you said
so
you'd go
much.
Back.
Yeah. If the price is right.
Damn. There you go. That's the hustle. So you got to watch some entrepreneurs and you hire them to work for you.
Oh, hell yeah. So see, now I know what goes into it. I know my worth. They got to pay if they want me.
So wait, after the first 3 days, you were just like, what the fuck am I doing?
You know what? You start to get, I think you start to get cabin fever at the second month that you're there. The first month, you're like, you're still flying by. You're still kind of like, oh, wow, I'm really in Maine. Like, I'm really like here. Like, you know, the second month, you're like, countdown, countdown, countdown. You're counting literally on the calendar. You're Xing out days because you're getting cabin fever. You're like, damn, I'm seeing my roots grow. I need to get my hair done. You know,
oh, my gosh.
Okay, I want to go home. I want to be my own bed. I want to, you know, so. But, yeah, it's definitely an experience, and it does make you stronger. It really, really does. Like, I came back with so much more confidence, and I find that, like, with every job that I take on, even before camp, we did Passover. Passover we did, it was 10 days straight, 1,500 people. And that
was
breakfast, lunch, dinner, three snacks a day, a Viennese tea, a Viennese of desserts every single night. It was insane. And I know one thing Carlin said to me, and I'll never forget that. He said, if your knife skills don't improve here in this program, then you're not cut out for this. And I take that not just only for Passover or for whatnot. I think that every job you take, if you don't take something away from that, and if you don't learn, then it was a waste. And so every job that I take and every gig that I have, I make sure that I learn something new. Whether it's me observing something and just looking from afar, or from me literally, you know, producing something that I didn't produce before, or doing using a new technique, or you have to learn from every single job in order to grow. And that's something that I've taken in, and this year I've really tried to do that, and it helps a lot. It helps a lot with your confidence. When you're talking to your next client, you know what you're doing, you know your worth, and therefore you can confidently ask for what you deserve.
I mean, confidence is key with that. You couldn't be more right. I mean, you know, I've said for a long time, you give somebody a little bit of confidence and you believe in them, and you'd be surprised how strong you make it when you do that. And I think you're right. Doing things like that,
like the adventure you went on this summer, it really shows your worth, and especially helps when you do the catering stuff. So congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Thank you. Absolutely. So much.
All right, so look,
when are you coming down to Florida so we can cook for you now?
I'm gonna come cook for you guys. I just got back from New Orleans. I cooked for 500 people for this chef's event they did down there, and it was awesome. And I'd never been there; it was awesome. So I'm hoping to come do the same thing in South Florida here soon.
I love the area.
So. I did. Yeah. It was awesome. I was really into it, and it was good stuff, man. I think I had too many beignets. It's a great spot. You got to call me before you go, because I'll tell you some awesome spots, man. We hooked it up down there. I walked for about 12 miles. I made my sous chef and I just walk around the entire day. We took an extra day to stay, and we just walked all around the entire New Orleans by ourselves. It was awesome. I made him walk. I was like, that's how you experience it, dude. We got to walk. And he's like, yeah, but I'm a big guy. And I'm like, not anymore. You're not, bitch. Come on, let's go. So look, I got to ask you though. So, you're a baker, obviously, but you spent the entire summer working as a sous chef as well, working as, you know, in hot foods.
Yeah.
So a war breaks out, and there's two sides to this war, Sarah. There's two sides. There's the bakers,
and
then there's the culinary hot foods guys. What side do you want? Choose your side.
Oh, wow. You know what? As much as I love the cooking, baking is my first love,
and
I love it, and it's in my heart, and it's in my the tips of my fingers, and that's my first love. So I definitely team baking.
Well, when the war breaks out, I like you, so I'll make it quick when we kill you. Don't worry, I won't make it prolonged. So that's a legit. Don't worry.
Okay.
That was a weird thing to say, I know, but I always think about it because. You know, working in the hotel scenario, I've spent a lot of time doing that. I mean, there's definitely a bit of a divide there between baking and pastry and the culinary people. I think it's always been there forever. I mean, do you feel that vibe ever?
Well, yeah. I mean, even at camp in the kitchen, when you usually bake or whatever for an event, you usually have your own kitchen and your own kind of equipment and your own time frame and sharing a kitchen with, you know, cooking, you have to compromise so much. And that's something, another thing that I learned this summer, you know, is actually not just assuming that I'll have the oven whenever I need it, you know, it doesn't really go by my schedule. It goes by the cook's schedule, because priority is the food, the hot food.
As it should.
I learned that the hard way. You know?
Damn.
So, yeah, oh yeah. I learned the hard way. So, I mean, definitely communication and hey, listen, chef, when will the oven be used today and tomorrow so I can plan out my baking for the week, you know? And that is it was a learning experience, you know, being the sous chef was also a learning experience, because I've never been a sous chef. I've never had kind of take orders. And then here I am.
Like, yes, chef.
In my ear, do this. And then I'm like, fuck you. He's like, no, fuck you. Now you cut the fucking onions.
Damn. You know? You cut the fucking onions. And you're like, chef.
That's
funny, man.
Okay. You know, but,
I mean, what else you got? What else are you gonna say? Yeah, the shit's got to get done, right?
For sure. Yeah, and that's another thing I learned as a sous chef. You just say, "Yes, chef." Okay, heard.
That's what's up.
That's about it. And yeah, and that's very that's different from the baking, because I'm baking. I'm, you know, in the baking, it's like I'm the one who's the baker, and it's vice versa. It was definitely a learning experience. It was fun. I learned a lot. I took in a lot in, and definitely made me stronger. It definitely gave me tougher skin, and ready for the next challenge.
Well, I think that you definitely have some, and I got to touch on a little bit here. We haven't talked about it all yet. I mean, you're kind of a promoter too. You did a pretty awesome event last year.
The SoFlo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely a major event. We've been talking about doing a pop-up again. We'll see. It'll be a much smaller scale, but True Cook Soul Flow was a lot of fun. It was a lot of prep. Definitely.
You know, just to talk about another thing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to talk about True Cooks for a second and what it means. And, you know, I know it's a clothing line, but to me, it's become a thing where an outlet where I've met a lot of really, really cool people and, you know, especially just people who are same like-minded individuals. And, you know, that's how I met you. And I think it's a very, very cool thing to see like that and how it's brought so many people together. What does that kind of mean to you?
Yeah. Okay. So one thing about True Cooks. When I first discovered True Cooks as a hashtag on Instagram, I didn't know much about it. And the more I would hashtag it, the more you would see all these other chefs, you know, and bakers and pastry chefs and cooks. And it was just an abundance of these amazing talents. And then when I started learning about what True Cooks really is, going on the website, reading the blog, you really do start to understand, but not really. I understood what it was when I started becoming friends with other True Cooks.
Right.
And literally, phone calls till today, I'm friends with a lot of True Cooks that I never would have known. And even throughout the summer, I had friends like constantly texting me, girl, what's going on? How are you? And it's just an amazing outlet. And it brings so many people together. Omar has been such an inspiration to me. I've read his book. I think like I'm already on the fourth time reading his book because I feel like every time I read it, like I learn something new. Like every time I take it in a little differently based on what I'm going through in my life. And to think that I wouldn't even know who this person was if it wasn't for True Cooks, it's, you know, it would be very disturbing. So I'm really happy for True Cooks. I'm really happy that, that I was able to find this medium, and it's amazing. And it brings so many people together. Whether if someone needs, you know, if someone's moving in, whatever, if I'm moving to Connecticut, I know I can say, hey, listen, Plum, if there's anything out there that you can hear or hook me up with work-wise,
no doubt,
you'd be out there for me. You'd help me and vice versa. And
no doubt.
Where else can you find a family like that, that even from people I don't even know, they reach out to me like, oh my God, this is an amazing post. And I'm like, wow, thank you, all the way from Australia, you know?
Right. Right. You're right. It's truly amazing. And to me, that's what it is.
So it's more than a clothing line. It really is.
Yeah. It's definitely more
than a clothing line.
It's a group of people who accept each other no matter what, which I think is very, very cool. And listen, check us out. No one knows us yet. I'm going to say it here for the first time and I'll tell you. I'm not telling anybody else. So everybody else, close your ears. I'm just telling Sarah. No, I'm kidding. The next episode of Edible Long Island on the Road is actually me going to a farmer's market with our good friend Omar. And he's our guest on that episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that coming out. Should be out in about a week. We hung out at the farmer's market.
Omar?
Yeah, that's my man. He does. He checks us out pretty regularly. He's a good dude. He's a good people. His story is fucking crazy, man. You should go back. If you haven't heard his whole story, man, it's insane. It's insane. Anyway, what a conversation. Yeah, he did, didn't he? That was pretty cool, right?
Rachel came out to True Cooks Soul Flow. Yeah, that was rad. That was a lot of fun with them. It really was.
That's really, really cool. Well, Sarah, I could talk to you for hours. I know the last time we had a long conversation, it was in the back of a Nissan or something, wasn't it? And that sounds weird to say, but we were in
the Uber.
Yeah, that's right. We were in the trunk of an Uber in the city, so that was awesome. We were going to the Empire State Building or some shit. I don't remember what the hell the story was, but we did a Periscope, and it was very funny.
Yeah, we were going to the after party. That's right. It was from, again, oh, wow, October. Whoa, almost a year. to the
was it really
New York
wow
True Cook. Yeah, what was it, October 5th, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. That's insane. Well, I knew you were awesome, Vin. I love this conversation tonight. I can't wait to talk to you again at some point. I got a new thing I'm going to start doing on the show, and I want to get you to play the game with me. We're going to play a game called What Did We Learn Tonight? Want to play?
All right.
All right. It's really simple, guys. What we're going to do is we are going to, it's really, really simple. We're going to talk about what we learned tonight. And What Did We Learn Tonight is brought to you by the one and only Ergo Chef Knives. Check out the new, brand new VG10 Japanese Super Steel 67-layer Damascus series. The new Shinzu coming out from Ergo Chef. The new shape of cutlery. These guys make great knives. I use them every single day of my life. Check it out. Today, I learned, we're going to give three things, Sarah, okay? We'll do one at a time.
Yeah.
I learned today that if you were hanging out with Sweet Cakes by Sarah, there needs to be a place to get your nails done. And it doesn't matter if it's in Australia, if you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, she needs a place to get her nails done. That's what I learned.
Do that. All right. My turn?
Yes. What did you learn today?
Okay. Based on the show? Okay. What did I learn today?
This conversation, the show tonight. What did you learn? What did you learn on the show tonight? Maybe we should call it that.
Okay, I learned that looking back, I am a strong ass woman. I can do whatever I set my heart out to. So that's that.
Hell yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah,
that's not bad at all. That's good. Yeah. That's good. I like that. I learned today that I shouldn't try to take a sip of beer when I'm trying to do a monologue because it goes down the wrong hole. That's what I learned, and I can't talk. I learned that apparently it's dead quiet.
You know, Paul, I'm only on my second cup. Oh, by the way, real quick, I forgot to mention, if you're ever in Maine, you gotta get this. Oh, you're in Connecticut. You should have Allagash. Do you have Allagash?
I do. Beer? Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, you sent me a picture when you had it. You said, have you had this? Because you know how much I love beer. And I was like, that's a damn good beer, if I remember correctly.
Yes, and it's not available here in Florida, but I'm going to have someone ship it to me on the DL. So everyone close.
There is... No, there's a company called... I have to look it up. There's a company where you can get it. You can get it. I know you can.
Oh, for sure, yeah. We were definitely hitting up at Curio. That was amazing, amazing beer. So,
which one was it again?
I learned today that you can only have two 8-ounce of beer, of Allagash, and be totally okay, and throw a bullseye in a dart, like a dart game, bullseye.
Damn, that's all right. Hey, Sarah, check out InsideTheCellar.com. You can order that beer there, and they'll send it to you to your house. Like, you'll pay a shipping charge for it, but you can get it. InsideTheCellar.com. There you go. I learned tonight that, I tell you what else I learned. I learned tonight that I know what I learned. I learned tonight that Sarah is not a big fan of chipmunks. That's what I learned. You're not a chipmunk fan at all. At all.
No. Nope.
And a side note, the chipmunks don't speak English. When you open the door and ask them to leave, they won't leave. So I learned that. You can't speak English to them, and Sarah doesn't like them. That's what I learned.
Right, exactly.
All right, give me one more.
Oh, boy. I learned that I can ramble on and on and on.
That's terrible. That's a cop-out. Come on. All right, look here. Sarah, you've been fun to talk to. I love hearing the stories about Maine. I really, really look forward to hanging out with you again, having a cocktail, and just telling more stories, possibly riding in the back of an Uber again, and just doing more stuff. If you're in New York City ever, you should give me a shout. I'm close by. It's not a big deal. So definitely, and when I'm in Florida again, I definitely will holler at you.
For sure. It was so nice talking to you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Love everybody out there. Thank you so much for all the support and all the likes and the tags. Thank you so much.
Man, how about that? That's all that love pouring out right there. And you can follow her at Sweet Cakes by Sarah on Instagram. I know everybody on the planet already does, but I'm just saying it. And of course, the Facebook page. What's your Facebook page under? I'm still new to Facebook. I'm still learning it.
My personal is Sarah Zizian.
So that's how you find that on Facebook, right? Do we promote Facebook? Is that what we do or no? I swear to God, I'm new to it. I don't know much about Facebook.
Are we allowed to? I don't know.
You can do whatever the hell you want. You were worried about cursing too much. I don't give a shit.
I know, and I was so good. You see how good I was? I'm so proud of
you
myself.
You really were.
Usually I'm like such a driver.
I'm not sure if you even said one F-bomb. Just say fuck really quick so you can get it out. Just do it. There
and
you go.
It's Spanish by a finger.
Is that how you say it?
I think, yeah. I've been taught.
Don't say I think. You have a microphone.
You learn different languages.
No shit. I speak kitchen Spanish. That's about it. So I can cuss you out and I can ask for chicken. So that's pretty much the extent of my Spanish, which isn't bad. It works in most kitchens. So. Sarah, you've been awesome to talk to. Thank you very, very much. I look forward to the next time I see you.
Thank you.
And again, next time you go to camp, watch out for the bugs. And you're welcome anytime. Anytime you want to come on, you got an open door.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
You're awesome. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Yeah. There she goes, guys. The one and only Sweet Cakes by Sarah. It was fun to talk to her and hear about her whole adventure in Maine, which is just crazy because it just goes to show you as a chef, you don't have to always do the same thing, man. There's so many different things you can do out there. Just keep open mind and keep your eyes peeled because you never know what you're going to find. Let's get into a couple of plugs and get on down the street.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, @Chef_Plum. That's @Chef_Plum on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, make sure you check out our guest line, the one and only Sweet Cakes by Sarah, @Sweet Cakes by Sarah with no H on Instagram. And of course, big shout out to my man, the one, the only, the charismatic Ryan Christopher for coming on tonight and talking about the Connecticut Chef's Challenge happening this Thursday. It's going to be a great event. I am the host of this set event, and there's gonna be a lot of great chefs there. I'm looking forward to this event. We're gonna do a little audio recording. Maybe we'll do a show out of it. I think we'll record most of it to start. Should be a great night. I'm looking forward to it. And again, big shout out to Sarah. Very, very talented, a very cool human being. So happy to call her my friend. Excited to see what the future holds for her. And of course, big shout out to my man Pan Chef, the one and only Carlin. Congratulations on the baby, brother. I look forward to chatting with you in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that's going to do it for the show tonight, man. I think that is completely going to do it for the show tonight. What else I got to talk about? Nothing. I don't think. Nothing. I think that's all we got. So let's close it out. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life happens around food. Let's please make sure we give it the time that it deserves. And I'll see you guys next Monday night right here on Plum Love Food for Live with Chef Plum. Be good. See you later.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray.